Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about what happens if you're an older person who, after 20 or 25 years of working in what you thought was a secure job, you find yourself jobless with no income. Where do you go? What do you do? How do you support your family? What if you have a problem with addiction and are jobless due to the problem as well as homeless? Where do you go? How do you turn your life around? You may not be a senior citizen. You may be in your 30s. You may be in your 20s or 40s, and you've been working at a job which you thought really was very promising. You've been there for 10 or 12 years, and suddenly you're unemployed. What do you do? My guest this evening is Tyler Rogers, Executive Director of Safe Harbor in Easton, Pennsylvania. Prior to becoming the Executive Director, he himself was a former stockbroker who took charge of his life and changed his career path. Tonight we talk about how it is possible for each of us to take charge of our lives. Whether we are facing addiction, joblessness, or homelessness, there is a way, and to help guide us towards a new path of self-respect and independence is my guest, Tyler Rogers, Executive Director of Safe Harbor.
Thank you for having me, Ellie.
You know, very often people don't understand what Safe Harbor is. They've heard about it.
Sure.
And they think of it as a place where people who are sitting on the bench, drinking a bottle, or nowhere to go, and they don't understand the services that Safe Harbor offers. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I absolutely can. There's a perception out there of what an emergency shelter is. And the perception is that it's a place that people just hang out. You have to have a drug addiction. You have to have a mental illness. And that really isn't the case. 50% of our population comes to Safe Harbor because they lost a job, because they were working a full-time job that got cut to 20 hours a week, because they were living in an apartment that they missed a month of rent, and they ended up having to come to the shelter because they were evicted. Families get separated because we are a shelter for single adult men and women, and unfortunately maybe the wife and kids can go live with the mom, but the husband can't go, so he has to come to Safe Harbor. But the big misconception of Safe Harbor is that when you come to Safe Harbor, you'll see programming throughout the building, you'll see empowerment throughout the building, you'll see people that are there changing their lives.
In what way do you see empowerment? Because people don't understand that. As I said, people have an impression that this is a place for people who are haven't got a job, they're hanging out, they've maybe got a drinking problem, and they're kind of sitting around on the bench doing nothing with their lives.
The best case example I can give you is, and I tell this to my residents every day, when I have a 75, 80-year-old man sitting across from me, and I tell him that I'm proud of him because he went for either a volunteer opportunity or he went for a job and it didn't work out, and I tell him I'm proud of him, and he looks at me and he starts crying, to me, that's powerful because he's never been told in his entire life that he matters or that somebody's proud of him. So what we do at Safe Harbor is we encourage, we empower, we let people know that they matter. We give people a purpose to get up in the morning.
Well, I think that is something that people are not aware of. And you come to this with your own special background.
I do.
And can you tell us about that?
I absolutely can. When I was a broker, I unfortunately picked up alcohol, I picked up drugs, I ended up with addictions of my own. And unfortunately, I continued on with those addictions for the next 10 years of my life. That was my 20s, was in my addiction, a fully functioning addict, because I did work, I did attend college, I did do all the things that, you know, I was supposed to be doing, but I had this little secret, you know, but that became not a secret after a while. So what I had to do was I had to put myself into treatment. It did not work in the beginning. I went to over 13 treatments over an 8-year period. I finally got it, though, because somebody had said something to me about just giving it a chance. Give it 30 days without using drugs and see what happens. If you're not happy, then go back to using. And you know what? My eyes opened up during those 30 days, and it actually made me realize that this is where I started my life over, at an emergency shelter. It wasn't Safe Harbor. It wasn't even in the state of Pennsylvania. But it let me know that if I truly wanted to give back and I wanted to keep my sobriety, I had to give it back. And I had to continue to help people that were in the same similar situation that I was in.
So when you see people who come to the shelter, whether they have a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction, or whether they're suffering from unemployment, you have a special understanding of who they be.
I absolutely do. And that's also my staff at Safe Harbor. If it was 3 years ago and I was on your show, I would be touting me and I would be telling you about what I do down there. Fortunately today, the great thing is that I have a team of 12 workers. And of those 12 workers, 8 of them are in recovery themselves. 6 of them have gone through Safe Harbor. So to me, that is full circle. Coming through Safe Harbor 6-7 years ago, getting your life in order, getting an apartment, keeping that apartment for 6 years, and then coming on to our Safe Harbor team and empowering people and letting people use you as a role model to better themselves.
So not only are people who come for services, their help, but they're also inspired.
Absolutely.
By the people that they're working with.
We like to think of ourselves as mentors. Absolutely. I tell my employees that at any one time, I would like everybody to have 5 people underneath them. This way, we're always mentoring at least 5 people. We have a recovery center also at Safe Harbor. It's the Eastern Recovery Center, and it's a great tie-in to what we do because we have 10 12-step meetings that take place. We have meetings that range from men's meetings, women's meetings, Alcohol Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous. We give something for everybody. We have an arts therapy class. We just try to have something that could relate to anybody that would come into our shelter. And one of the cool things that we do with staffing at the shelter, too, is if you came down to Safe Harbor, you're going to see completely different people that are working there. And the reason we do that is we want somebody to be able to relate to anybody that works at that shelter. We get all different kinds of populations down at Safe Harbor. It's almost one of those things where you have to come and actually experience it with your own eyes. You truly have to walk in, and what you will see is the exact same people that you would see sitting at your own dinner table at your house.
And that is amazing. Can you give us, so we have some images of Safe Harbor that are really incorrect and only become corrected when we see with our own eyes.
Absolutely.
And go down and see the population, that they could be our neighbor across the way, that they could be any one of us who has taken on some hard times.
Ellie, last year alone, we had 1,770 volunteers that came into Safe Harbor. The reason that's so important is that's 1,770 people that got to see with their own eyes what Safe Harbor's about. And they carry the message with them of the empowerment and the encouragement and what we do down there. The best thing is when we can get volunteers that come once and then say to us, we want to come every month. We want to be a part of this. And that truly is what happens when people come down. They get excited. They see that people are truly changing their lives. We're saving lives also. That's what we do down at Safe Harbor.
So one part of the program at Safe Harbor is the volunteers who put in their hours. And the other part of the population that come to be served. Give us an example of someone whom who walked in, or how they came and found Safe Harbor. Did Safe Harbor find them? Did they find Safe Harbor? How does it work?
Ellie, they come from all over the place. We get referrals daily from hospitals. We get referrals daily from the prisons. We get 20% of our population in a year that just walks in and says, I have nowhere to live. I've been sleeping underneath the bridge for 2 weeks. I was down at the Circle in Easton and somebody told me about Safe Harbor. We get people that come across the bridge from New Jersey that have heard about Safe Harbor. We get people that come from all over the place. One of the most important things for me is educating resources that are out there. So I am constantly, along with my staff, putting material out there for people to be able to find. Another thing that we also do, I do the point in time for Northampton County, and it's a day that we go out and we find homeless people for 24-hour period. But what I started doing 7 years ago when I started that was I do it monthly. And what we do is we bring backpacks out filled with information, filled with food, filled with supplies for people that are living outside. We try to encourage them to come down, use our day program at Safe Harbor. And what that day program is it's a program that's open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The most important important piece of that program is the hot breakfast and hot lunch that we serve to 60 to 80 clients a day. The program can get up to 120 clients a day in the winter months. We also provide case management for anybody that's in that program. We try to encourage them and show them that there's another way of life. We give them life skills classes, but there's a key piece that we do at Safe Harbor that's different from most agencies. We make sure that it's something that they want. I learned 7 years ago when I got there, if I'm going to put something out there for them to do and they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. But if I can make it fun and I can make it be something that they enjoy doing, they are more than happy to participate.
And is there a time limit that they can participate?
Well, for our day program, no, it's unlimited. Our day program has been open for 27 years. We have people that, I actually have the guy that was the first resident ever in the day program that still comes and uses the day program. So to me, that's amazing. Our residential that stays is a 60 to 120 day stay.
And when you say residential, you mean?
That would be for any of the residents that actually live in the house at Safe Harbor.
So because they don't have a place to be.
Absolutely. I want people to understand that Safe Harbor has many different programs. I'm just going to give you an overview of some of those programs right now. There's the emergency shelter. With the emergency shelter, that's 34 beds. We have 22 male beds and we have 12 female beds. We have the female dorm upstairs and we have the male dorm downstairs. So we can help and house 34 people a night. Every night of the year, we are full. We put 300 people through the shelter a year. So we try to stick with a 60 to 120 day time frame. But there are people that go over that time frame. The one thing I will not do is put somebody out before they're ready.
So they have to demonstrate that they are ready.
They do.
And how do you know that they're ready?
We have many compliances that they have to meet. We have a certain amount of time till they have to find employment. If they're on Social Security disability, we have a number of hours that they have to volunteer each week. If there's somebody that can't leave the building, because 10% of our population is seniors and veterans, and some of them come with conditions that they can't leave our building. So we find something for them to do there. We want to have everybody, again, have that purpose and that reason to wake up in the morning.
Well, you know, it sounds like Safe Harbor is a very special program that not very many people know about, except if they become indigent in some way, of lost employment, and are really desperate. And I'm so glad that you're here, Tyler Rogers, Executive Director of Safe Harbor, to help us understand the breadth and scope of Safe Harbor. And when we return, I would like to have you give us some actual examples of seniors or a veteran or a person who was employed and suddenly lost their job, had no way of getting back on their feet and feel demoralized, and to give us actual examples of people that you've helped, and just so we can see how the process works at Safe Harbor when we return to WDIY, Take Charge of Your Life.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking about a very interesting institution that people don't know very much about, and that is Safe Harbor. If people do have heard of Safe Harbor, they've had a different impression. They don't quite understand what Safe Harbor does. And tonight I have as my guest Tyler Rogers, who is the executive director of Safe Harbor in Easton. And in the first part of the program, we're talking about the variety of populations that you serve and the many programs that Safe Harbor offers, not only for people who are in need, but also for volunteers who have their eyes, you know, kind of opened as to the opportunities and possibilities. In this part, Tyler, what I'd like us to do, I'd like you to help us see and visualize through examples of people that you have helped in various stages.
Absolutely. One of the great things that we do, and I'm basically going to take you from when somebody enters our building. We'll use a walk-in as our first example. Somebody walks into the building and they need a bed because they're homeless. The first thing we're going to try to do is we're going to establish who needs the shelter more. We probably get 10 to 15 people a day that we have to refer out somewhere else. Now, the one thing at Safe Harbor that we do, and this is under my leadership, we do not turn anybody away. We use our resources and our knowledge of those resources to refer somebody somewhere else until we can house them.
Why did the person come in? Give us an example of what they're facing that brought them. Are they a senior? Were they working? Did they just lose their job? Are they an addict with no place to go?
Ellie, I think the best way I can do it is to just give a couple examples of each of those categories. So I'm going to start with seniors. Of my population, 10% seniors and veterans. When I got to Safe Harbor 7 years ago, that was about 3% of my population. So one of the trends that I noticed 3 years ago was my female seniors, they were increasing and increasing, and I couldn't figure out why. A lot of them were also coming from the jail. And it turns out that there were men from other countries that were sending checks to this woman that they started talking to on the internet that was looking for this companionship. And here it was, you know, something that wasn't, it was a fraudulent check. So here this woman ended up getting charged with all of these felony accounts because of this man. So, and Ellie, the thing is, this has happened time and time again. I could probably name you 20 times that this has taken place.
Let me understand that. So here's a senior woman who is good at the computer.
Sure.
I have to add that. She's good at the computer. And she is in contact with this gentleman from another country. And he is mailing her, from the goodness of his heart, he's mailing her checks.
Absolutely. He's taking the time to reel her in. You know, he's giving her something she hasn't had in a long time. He's giving her somebody to talk to, somebody to care about.
And he sends checks, but the checks are...
The checks are fraudulent. He's using her to cash these checks and then send him the money back. And here she ends up taking the fall for it when he eventually goes down. So what ends up happening is these women come to jail, then get released to Safe Harbor, and they have no place to go. Now, the great thing is, because they're seniors, we have relationships with different agencies across the Lehigh Valley. So we can use those agencies. It will probably take me up to 60 days to get somebody housed that's a senior. That's a great time. You know, we're usually looking at up to 120 days for somebody else, but 60 days is great. So we have programs that they can actually use. And one of the big things that you have to do is you have to rebuild the confidence in that senior who was just unfortunately taken by somebody that they truly trusted. So a lot of times, again, we're sitting them down on a weekly basis. We're letting them know that they can trust us and they can learn to trust again. So that's just one example that I can give for a senior. I can give you a veteran example. Veterans come in and use our day program in our shelter every single day. We have Hope for Veterans, which is an amazing program in the Lehigh Valley. All I do is pick up the phone. I call Hope for Veterans. They come down. They start the housing application that day. It usually takes us 3 weeks to get them housed in their own apartment.
What do you see as the major problem, or one of the major problems that brings veterans in?
Addiction. Unfortunately, it is addiction, and that's where we can try to get involved. And a lot of times, it's not just a 5 or 10 year addiction. We're talking a 30 to 40 year addiction. This is somebody that doesn't want to come in and ask a stupid question, doesn't want to even come in and ask for help, let alone say to somebody, how do I get into a rehab? How do I do a referral to get funded to be able to go to treatment? I always say to people, there are no dumb questions in recovery, but unfortunately, a lot of it does stem from addiction.
And have these people... when you say veterans, what are you talking about? Veterans from Afghanistan? Are you talking about veterans from...
All different. It ranges from all different eras. You know, it's across the board. I have, unfortunately, veterans that live in the woods. You know, that's one of the things that people don't realize. Even though we're a shelter right there in Easton, there is still a population of up to 20 people that live outside. We know where most of the campgrounds are, where most of the abandoned buildings are that people are in. And some of these people do choose it, but there are other ones that don't. So, you know, that's when we try to get them to Safe Harbor as quickly as possible and get their lives turned around.
Can you give us some success stories that you've had?
I absolutely can.
Yes.
Ellie, that's probably the most important thing at Safe Harbor to me is statistics and tracking our outcomes, because if we can do that, we can truly go out into the community and we can show people that we are making a difference. Statistics from last year, 117 jobs that we found for our residents. To me, for 300 people that are coming through a shelter, 117 jobs for those 300 people is incredible. One of the big things that we also try to do, we don't just want a job that's going to pay the minimum wage. We have a Safe Harbor Employment Services program where we have a full-time employment worker that can take people to jobs, that can advocate for that client, but can also go and meet with the companies and help us raise that minimum wage level up, help them get jobs that are $9 or $10 an hour. We give people all different approaches of how to get jobs in this economy. It is a completely different ballgame than it was even 10 years ago. So we show people the way to do that. Every Thursday, we have an employment group that meets from 11 to 12. We get upwards of 30 people that come to the employment program. We match people up with jobs right there and then at that employment group.
And do employers also come to that
Absolutely.
Meeting? Absolutely. So it's not only for the people who are looking for positions, you're matching them right there on the spot
Absolutely.
With employers who are coming weekly
Absolutely.
To attend these meetings.
And I'm constantly pounding the pavement, going to work with companies to get them involved. When we started Employment Services January 2013, we started with one company signed up. We have over 55 companies signed up today.
Well, that's amazing.
Some of the amazing ones in Easton that support us, Crayola Experience, Lafayette College. Some of the best restaurants in Easton. So it truly shows you a community impact. And that is because we're showing them how we're reintegrating people back into the community as success stories.
Well, I think that is wonderful. It also works in the favor of the companies in Easton.
It sure does. And the pitch that I make to them is don't pay a temp service to get you somebody. Use the valuable skills that people have at Safe Harbor. And that, again, goes back to the misconceptions of Safe Harbor. People think these are, you know, down and out people that come to us. These are talented, skilled workers that come to us that have, some have worked for 40 years in, you know, the field that they have their trade in. You know, so what we do is we take the resumes and we classify them into the different companies that we're working with. And then we can call those employers up and say, hey, listen, I have this guy here that I know is a perfect fit for you.
Tyler, can you give us an example of one person whom you've helped that way from who's come, who maybe has been working for a company for 30 years, got rifted, let go, and is now down and out? How does that come to you, and what do you do for them?
I'll give you a perfect example. I had this guy, Louie, that came to me about 2 years ago. He had worked for 31 years with a corporation, a big corporation, making big money. He got laid off when times were tough. He ended up losing his apartment. He lost his family in the process. So what I said to myself was, where can I match his skill set up? And so what I did was I found a nonprofit that had a live-in position for him. So he's a house manager now at that nonprofit. An apartment comes with it. So here I was able to kill two birds with one stone. I was able to find his housing, and I was able to find his income all with one swoop.
Oh, that was wonderful. So you were really able to be helpful to him on many, many levels.
Truly, truly help him, show him a different way. And that's probably the most important thing that we do. When they get there, we take that four-month period that they're there to build them up. They're not the same person when they leave that they were when they walked into our building. We're constantly empowering them and encouraging them to turn them into somebody that they can be. And most people, they forget who they were. We just want to show them again that successful, confident person that they can be. And so a lot of times it's just using ourselves as role models to say, hey, listen, we're equal. There's nobody better here. You can do it because I did it. I was right where you were, living on the streets with my addiction. I did exactly the same things that you did. I have a record just like you have a record. That doesn't matter if you go out and you sell yourself to somebody and you let yourself be able to live again.
Well, here's a question. Many people face this. You mentioned that some people have a record. Do you advise people to be very honest with their forthcoming employer and say, this is who I've been and this is what I've been in jail and I've been an addict, but I am now in recovery and this is what I've accomplished? Do you encourage them to be honest?
Ellie, I'm so glad you brought that up. I absolutely do. And I think honesty is the most important piece of all of this. You basically have to let them know who you are, who you were, and who you are today. What I encourage my residents to do that have an addiction and have a past, put a letter together, put a one-page letter together of your past and who you are and who you are today. Send that out to 100 companies. You send it to 100 companies, you will get 10 responses. Get your foot in the door so you can sit down with somebody. Once you sit down with that person, now it's your job to sell yourself to them. We teach people how to sell themselves.
And I have to reiterate, because I want to make sure I'm hearing it right, you do encourage your people to be honest about who they've been.
Absolutely.
And then when they get the interview, sell themselves right there.
Absolutely.
On a different level.
And we teach them how to sell themselves. And that's the part of the case management piece that comes into play. Everybody that lives at that shelter meets with us on a weekly basis to get that case management. And that's when we work on those things.
Well, I'm wondering, who is eligible to come for your services?
Anybody. Anybody. There is no... unless you have to be 18. Obviously, there's programs for anybody that's a minor. You have to be 18. I've had up to 88, you know, that's lived at the shelter.
Now, excuse me, age 88?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure. Okay. And how do they get in touch with you?
They could come to 536 Bushkill Drive, Easton, PA, 18042.
And what's the telephone number?
610-258-5540. Ellie, the best way, too, to find out more about Safe Harbor, www.safeharboreaston.com. Again, it's www.safeharboreaston.com. I put a ton of information on that website. I update it daily. People can truly find out what we do. I have success stories all over that website because I want people to see the difference that we're making out there.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Tyler Rogers, Executive Director of Safe Harbor, for helping us to realize that no matter what our circumstances, whether we are jobless, coping with addiction, or homeless, there is a place to go in Easton called Safe Harbor to help us find a way back to living a life with dignity and respect. And we are very fortunate to have this as a resource in the community. And if you know of anybody who might benefit from the services of Safe Harbor, feel free to have them call 610-258-5540. Thank you again, Tyler Rogers, for helping us to make us aware of the resources available for all of us to be safe and to be filled with self-respect.
Thank you, Ellie. It truly is shows like this that make a difference. I try to get myself out there 10 to 15 times a month in front of groups and in front of people, but to be able to do things like this where it can get a large group of people to understand what we're about, it's unbelievable. So I want to thank you again. But I also just want to say one more thing. For anybody that is listening, please come down and see us. Just walk in. We have staff 24/7. We can put you in place in any of the many programs that we have, but truly to be able to make a difference, you have to come down and participate. In it.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.